think we got the elementary choir singing tonight, so kiddos, come on and get in place. Faith doing one of the songs from the play that they did a couple weeks ago. That's great. Boy, they sang out, and you'll be blessed tonight. And we have a lot of people. If your throat's not sore and you're not scratchy and croaky tonight, don't shake hands with anybody, okay? Because it is an epidemic stage around here, and so it's into the school a little bit. But we'll hear tonight the good song y'all sing out, folks, and we'll enjoy this. All right. I like that. Very good. I was blessed by that. Praise the Lord. The volume level was there. I like it. We get on key one of these days. That's all right. I'd rather have volume than on key right now. I promise you. That's good stuff. Amen. I like the way those boys sing. And the girls, too. Outstanding. Wonderful. Let's go to Psalm 74. I like the message of the song, too, is a blessing. Psalm 74 this evening. And I want to just hopefully bring you something that will maybe be an encouragement to you. We'll talk to you about being faithful through the seasons. Faithful through the seasons. And let's pray in a moment here. Go ahead and find your place there. Psalm 74. And we'll jump in here tonight. God bless you for being here. And I mean that. Wonderful crowd for a dreary Wednesday night here. And it feels like it's cooling off somewhat in here, doesn't it? And so it looks feeling a little bit better now. So hopefully it'll be good. Heavenly Father, we're glad for your amazing grace, and what a blessing our hearts just experienced to hear these young people sing about it. Lord, I pray that they will continue to experience your amazing grace in their lives as they grow up. May they serve you no matter what their calling or vocation in life may be. I pray that they'll serve you, and your grace will be effective in their lives all the way through. May your grace be effective in our own hearts and lives tonight. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, we submit ourselves to you. Pray that you'll teach us, enlighten us, help us, encourage us. Bless us tonight in Jesus' name. and amen. If you have a Scofield Bible, at the beginning of Psalm 74, you see the words, Maskell of Asaph. Now, if you were here last Tuesday, week ago, Tuesday, before our Thanksgiving service, you recognize the name Asaph. We talked about him last week in that Bible study on Tuesday night. Asaph was the one I mentioned, who was the songwriter and the music leader in Israel during King Saul and King David and King Solomon's era. Okay? It was his music. Remember that? When the Jews returned from captivity in Babylon, 70 years captivity now, and they returned and they rebuilt the temple and they reinstituted the worship services in the temple. It was Asaph's music that they used. They didn't use the contemporary music. They didn't use the music of their peers. They certainly didn't use the music from Babylon. They went back 70 to 80 years, I think I told you last week, and got the music that Asaph had used in the worship services in the temple, in the tabernacle temple in Jerusalem previously. And what a good pattern that is for us. Stick with the old psalms and hymns that have a punch. Amen. Now, his pen, Asaph's pen, recorded this psalm and several others in the book of Psalms. And so, by the way, it's clear that music was a huge part of the worship of Jehovah God. Very clear. Now, this is not my message tonight, but I want to speak to this for just a couple minutes before I get into the meat of my talk tonight. Folks, do not ever believe anybody who tells you that music is not that big a deal. Ever believe that. Do not ever believe that it is a non-essential. That's not true. Do not be passive about the music your kids listen to and pass it off as one of those things that, like I talked about Sunday morning, falling under the category of, well, you have to pick your fights. In other words, what you're saying is, I'm not going to fight with my kid about their music. I think that's a huge mistake. There might be something else not to fight with your child over, but not music. You need to fight over music, and you better be very careful about music. The music you listen to, the music you have in your home, in your vehicle, in your office. Music is a powerful medium. When somebody tries to convince you that it is not that important, you have Bible passages that teach you differently. Okay? Let's stop for a moment. Hold your finger here in Psalm 74. We're coming back. But look over in Exodus chapter 32. Look in Exodus chapter 32. This is a well-known passage. But just to reiterate tonight and to drive another little nail so that we can have something firm to hang on to and what we believe, let me show you and remind you about Exodus 32. Remember now, Moses has been up on top of the mountains in communion with God, Mount Sinai. Joshua's halfway up the mountain. The children of Israel down below at the foot of the mountain. Aaron is in charge of the children of Israel down there. Remember that? What has become of this man Moses? We haven't seen of him, heard of him for 40 days, and he's left us. Let's make us a god. And so Aaron, he capitulates and they make the golden calf. And then Moses turns to go down to the bottom of the hill and picks up Joshua. And look at verse number 17. The Bible says, "And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp." So Joshua said, "Man, they're in a battle." And he, Moses, said, "It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." So music that sounded like war. If you like to mark your Bible, write rap music beside that. Because that's what that is. Music that sounded like war. That's crazy, folks, but that's exactly. Joshua mistook the singing of the people of Israel for the sound of war. And if you've ever been around rock and rap music blaring loudly on these high-powered amplified speakers, it sounds like a war. Sounds like gunshots. It really does. And that's what Joshua said. Now, don't forget that what else was happening at this particular time. I didn't write these verses down, so I may have to quickly find them for you. But look at verse number 25. "And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked under their shame among their enemies." Now, I don't believe for a second here that the children of Israel were stripped down to their birthday suits running around, but I do believe that they were guilty of what the Bible calls biblical nakedness would be. They had uncovered their shoulders, uncovered possibly their thighs, because that's what the Bible defines for us as nakedness. Any part of the body that's not covered from the shoulder to the knee is nakedness. Okay, and so that I don't think in John chapter 21, I don't think for one minute that Peter was out in the Sea of Galilee in his birthday suit. But I think Peter was out in the Sea of Galilee in attire that the Bible would consider that makes you naked. Because if you're uncovered from your shoulders to your thighs, then you're naked. All right. There's another verse in here. The Bible says they were dancing around. So they're dancing. There's biblical nakedness and there's false worship of a golden calf, a dead idol. Now, all of that is going on. You will never convince me that music does not influence us. Because here they were in the middle of this crazy, crazy, crazy thing going on. And the music just pounding and rattling, no doubt. And I'm not talking about amplified speakers, but the kind of music that didn't have those back then. But the kind of music that sounded like war. And they're dancing and they're naked and it's all kind of crazy stuff going on. I believe music has a great influence on us. I believe it influences the kind of clothing we wear. I think young people give themselves away when they're listening to contemporary music by the clothes they wear. I'm going to tell you, these guys, these Christian kids running around in these sodomite-type blue jeans, that's contemporary music influence. That's not godly music influence. You don't see godly people standing up singing that kind of stuff, singing godly music wearing that kind of stuff. But click on some YouTube contemporary music concert and you'll find them all over the place. Contemporary music influences how you dress. You tell the kind of music one listens to often by the clothes they wear or don't wear. So music has an unbelievable influence on us. I know that from experience. I know from a lost teenage boy steeped in rock music, going to concerts that were so wonderful, people were passed out in their own puke. So wonderful. And overdosed. And the policemen and the ambulances coming to haul them away. I saw it all. What a great time we're having. Isn't that crazy? Absolutely crazy. And I know the influence that kind of music had just on me as a lost teenager. I could walk into my house and have a good spirit and a decent attitude, even as a lost kid. And after about 10 minutes of my bedroom, of that music pounding in my ears, I was all bent out of shape. It has a powerful influence on you. Look over at 1 Samuel chapter 16. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 23. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 23. Over here. Here's another passage that tells us a lot about me. And I'm just saying this tonight, opportunity, because Asaph was the chorister. He was the music leader in Israel. We're going to look at something he wrote in just a moment. But I just thought, you know what? Let me just address this once again from the pulpit, just to nail it down, because somebody might say, well, music's just not that big a deal. I don't believe that for a second, all right? Look at 1 Samuel 16:23. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul. Now stop right there. How are you going to explain that? Evil spirit from God. You explain that this way. There is not a creature alive in the heavens, on the earth, in the earth, under the earth, who is not accountable to Almighty God. And Job tells us that the sons of God, that's the angelic realm, the good and the bad angels, even Satan himself, had to present himself before God and answer the question, where have you been? So that tells me that this evil spirit, not sent, not part of God, not part of God's person, but God allowed an evil spirit. God knows where the evil spirits are. They all have to give an account to Him. And so the evil spirit from God was upon Saul. This is after Saul had disobeyed God in chapter 15, and God had said, I'm taking the kingdom away from you because you disobeyed me. Incomplete obedience is disobedience. And so I'm taking this away from you. And so now this evil spirit was allowed to come upon him. So here's this evil spirit, a devil on Saul, bothering Saul. It says here that David took an harp and played with his hand. Now, folks, I try as you might, I find it difficult to believe that you could play rap or rock music on a harp. Maybe you could. But I think most of us know what a harp sounds like when it's used for. And look at the next four words. So Saul was refreshed. How about that? Look at the next three words. And was well. That's the influence of music. He was refreshed. And he was well. And, this is amazing, the evil spirit departed from him. So music had such a soothing effect on Saul spiritually that he was refreshed in his soul and he was well. He got out of that insanity, that mode of insanity, and this evil spirit who was there harassing him and influencing him departed because of the soothing music that was played. Now, if an evil spirit departed when a certain kind of music was played, then do you think it could be that evil spirits can be attracted by certain kind of music? So if the evil spirit departs, now God allowed it. God allowed the evil spirit to go harass Saul and bother Saul because of Saul's disobedience, incomplete obedience. And so here's this evil spirit harassing Saul, depressing Saul. You see, saved people, I think even in the Old Testament, saved people can't be possessed by demonic beings, but they can be oppressed. And the symptoms are very similar. Depression. Sadness. Here's Saul, he's irritated, he's jealous, he's angry, he's hateful. All this is going on in his life, this devil spirit. David starts playing that harp and that evil spirit hits the road. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of music I need. I need the kind of music that is played in my vehicle that kind of sends the evil spirits that would like to harass me. I'd like to see them gone. I don't need that kind of interference. I don't need that kind of hindrance in my life. As a Christian, why in the world would I want to play music, you know, take the world's beat, the syncopation and the world's beat and the world's rhythm, and then tack in the word Jesus, and tack in the word grace, and tack in the word cross. Well, let's just get us a cigarette and pencil on there Jesus. What's the difference? I mean, folks, why would I want to put the music from the world with Christian terms in it if that kind of music attracts demonic beings? Well, music's just not that big a thing. I think you're absolutely whistling Dixie. For a Yankee, that wouldn't be very good. I messed up big time the other day. I don't know if... Naomi, I don't know if you were in Ephesus. Was this Monday last? I don't know. Somebody called Pastor so-and-so wants to know if they can put... If Shine FM can put a placard in our front yard about Christmas music. Yeah, put a... Was that Monday? Did y'all say anything that Shine was ONU? I don't remember that. I had no idea Shine was ONU. I don't listen to ONU because I don't listen to rock music. You say, well, it's got Christian words. I don't care. Take the words away and you can jam. Yes, sir. And I don't need music that attracts demonic spirits. So, yeah, they could put Christmas music. It was Monday, folks. It was Monday. I was still recuperating from wearing a fireman's jacket on a fireman's suit on Sunday night. That, thank you, made it to Instagram. God bless you social media people out there. Brother Caleb, preacher, I saw you in a fire suit. Awesome! I said, thanks, Caleb. He should have been here to wear that fire suit. He would have been swinging that axe everywhere. He'd been killed. Oh, mercy. So it's Monday. Yeah, put it out there. Christmas music, that's great. So somebody says, Pastor, we're advertising the ONU station. I said, what are you talking about? Shine. FM Shine. I didn't Shine. I don't know. I don't listen to it. And so we pulled the placard. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to advertise WONU. I don't listen to WONU. I don't listen. I can't listen to that. It grieves the spirit that lives in me. Maybe it doesn't grieve the spirit that lives in you. But it grieves the spirit that lives in me. It just does. So be careful about your music. Okay? In fact, you want the placard? Take it to your house. We got it in the office. You can come pick it, print it up tonight. Give yourself it. Okay? Okay. But I look. Asaph, let's get back over to Psalm. I want to get to what I want to talk about tonight, but I just thought, man, it's just, you know, it's too good, and we just went through that on Monday and yesterday. I'm thinking, oh, brother, here we got, because we're not for that kind of music, amen. So, it's one thing if somebody comes sticks a sign in your yard when you're asleep. Another thing when you say, sure, put it out there. Oh, my goodness. Like advertising Christian beer, huh? That's truth. It's crazy. Okay, let's go to Psalm 74. Be careful. All that to say, be careful about your music. 99.9% of the times, in trouble with teenagers, down through the years here in school, with 18 years of school behind us, when teenagers have gotten into trouble, 99.9% of the time, wrong kind of music has been involved somewhere, somehow, some way. Just goes with the territory. So be careful about the music you listen to. Okay, Psalm 74, verse 16. The Bible says Asaph is the writer here. He's a songwriter. The day is thine. The night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. Now, I want you to see in verse 16 the first phrase or two. The day is thine. The night also is thine. Verse 17, the last phrase. Thou hast made summer and winter. So the psalmist says that God made, Asaph, the songwriter, he says God made day and God made night. And God made summer and God made winter. Now, I don't know what you think about when you hear day and night and summer and winter. But when I hear that, I read those terms, I think of seasons. Day and night are short seasons. Seasons of light and darkness that come and go about every 12 hours, give or take a little, depending on what time of the year it is. Okay? Summer and winter are longer seasons of warmth and cold that last for 13, 14, sometimes 15 weeks or so. But they're seasons. So you got light and warmth. You've got dark and cold. These are seasons, okay? I'm talking about literal seasons that we experience living on this planet. But I also believe that we go through seasons in life. And I believe that every child of God goes through seasons spiritually. I believe the Bible teaches us that. And I believe spiritually in our lives, the seasons come and the seasons go. Summer comes and then goes, and winter comes and then winter goes, and day comes and goes, and night comes and goes. But I believe every child of God goes through seasons. We are not robots. We are not mechanical beings going through life robotically. Even preachers, sometimes preachers, people have this funny idea about preachers that they are these, you know, they're these invincible, super Christian people who never have any troubles. Rick Flanders, just, I'm on his email list. He preached here a couple years ago. Remember Brother Flanders? And he preached on bitterness, I believe it was. Well, he sent an email article out recently, and he talked about the preacher's tears. I just got it a few days ago. And he talked about where Paul told Timothy, I can't wait to come see you, being mindful of thy tears. And preachers do cry for all kinds of reasons. Preachers cry when they see people they love hurt themselves, when they see people that they love going dangerous directions. Preachers cry over their own weaknesses and their own failures. Preachers cry. We go through seasons. Nobody's robotical, folks. We are not robots. We are living souls. Souls feel, souls think, souls choose, and souls live with the results of those choices. Souls feel and react to circumstances and situations around them. And we all know that, you know, we should never react, we should act. But how many of us can claim that we never react? Anybody? We all react. You know why? Because we're not robots. We're not mechanical beings. We're living souls. So souls go through seasons. And I think that's what Asaph and the Word of God is trying to teach us here. Night and winter are not the most comfortable seasons for people. This time of the year, the night hours are very long. And believe me, elderly people who sometimes have no family in the area or are widowed or widowers, the nights in the winter season can get extremely long. When it's dark at 4:30 and it doesn't get light until 6:45 in the morning, that's 14 plus hours of darkness. Don't tell me that doesn't get long. This time of the year, lots of folks in Illinois, Iowa, Michigan, Indiana are packing up their motorhomes and heading to Arizona and Texas and Florida to get away from the winter. Night and winter are not comfortable seasons for people. Night and winter in the soul are not comfortable seasons for people either. And they come to us. Night can bring foreboding, fear, and doubt. Winter brings chill and sharp winds and biting snow. And night and winter in the soul can bring the same type feelings and the same type chill, if you will. I think you understand what I'm talking about tonight. 33 plus years of ministry now and 38 years of being saved. As I look back over the span of that time in life, I can see the seasons that have come and gone in my soul. Can you? Sure you can. The seasons come and the seasons go. Now, you may not be going through night or winter tonight. Maybe you are. If you're not, I hate to discourage you. But it'll come. It will come. I'm talking about seasons of the soul. Now, I want you to consider a couple things here tonight, three or four things. Let me point out, it won't take me long. We'll be done in good shape tonight. Number one, watch it here in verse 17. The Lord makes night and winter as well as day and summer. He makes night and winter as well as day and summer. He said in verse 16, the day is thine, the night also is thine. Verse 17, thou hast made summer and winter. There is no disputing, there's no doubting that God makes the sunshine, the sunny times, and makes the summer seasons and the day seasons in life. We're quick to say, thank you, Lord, it's a wonderful day. And, well, you blessed me. But folks, just as much as God makes the day and the summer, God makes the night and the winter. He does. Think about these things. I'm talking about nature, things of nature. Think about creeks. What's a creek in the summertime? It's a bubbling, running, warm. Man, in Georgia, in the summertime, we took our shoes off in May and didn't put them back on until we went to school at the end of August. Y'all probably did the same thing. And we'd find those creeks. Man, Steve Jordan and myself, my brother Tim, and other guys in the neighborhood, Dixon guys, we'd find those little creeks out in the pastures nearby. Man, we had short pants on in those days, and we'd take our shoes off, you know, and we'd get in the water and turn those rocks over and hunt for salamanders. You ever seen a salamander? It's a black lizard. It's an amphibian. Lives in the water. We'd hunt for crawdads. They're not like the crawdads in Louisiana that you can take and cook and eat something, you know, make a good gumbo out of. They're just little old crawdads, but we'd find them underneath rocks. They'd scurry away. Then we'd turn those rocks over. You always had to turn those rocks over real slow. If you turned it over real fast, the water clouded up and you couldn't see. But if you turned it over real slow, you'd catch those salamanders trying to slip out from underneath. We had so much fun skipping rocks, huh? That was in the summertime. But in the winter, it's cold. Now, up here, it's frozen. It's hard. Sticks sticking out of the ice and plants sticking up out of the ice and jagged edges of rock sticking up out of the ice. Not a whole lot you can do. You can't even skate on that. That's winter. You think about grass in the summer. It's green and thick like a carpet. And in the winter, it's brown and frosted. And you think about trees in the summer. They're full and they're fruitful. And trees in the winter are empty. They're barren. And flowers in the summer, they're bright and aromatic. And your husband or your child brings you a flower. And you take a big, long sniff of it because the aroma just, boy, just is there. But in the wintertime, they're withered and brittle. Just over the days we had off the last week, the Thanksgiving Day and so forth, we had the old hydrangea bushes in the front of the house. And in the summertime, they were full of those beautiful bulbs, those big flowers, you know, a hydrangea looks like. But that, you know what I did? You know what I did Friday or Thursday afternoon or whatever it was? I took a pair of snippers and I cut them because they're all brown and dried and brittle, ugly. There's a big difference in nature between summer and winter, is there not? A huge difference. But friend, the bottom line is the Lord makes both. The Lord makes winter just like He makes summer. And so it goes with the seasons that our souls go through. We go from summer to winter, from day to night, and then night to day, and winter to summer. And God makes them both. And we can't forget that. The bubbling, warm, green, thick, full, fruitful, bright, aromatic season, seasons become the cold, frozen, brown, frosted, empty, barren, withered, and brittle seasons. God makes them both. One is on this side of the scale, and the other is on that side. And you know what they do? Eventually they balance out because God makes them both. It doesn't matter where you are tonight in your soul. I'm not talking about December weather outdoors. I'm talking about what's inside you tonight. I'm talking about seasons of the soul. The seasons that the soul goes through. We've got to remember that God makes them both. Don't lose your shout and lose your hallelujah and lose your smile in the winter and in the night. God made the winter and the night as much as He did the day and the summer. So God makes both. Number two, good comes out of both. Good comes out of both. It's easy to think of the good that comes out of day and summertime. It's not so easy to think of the good that comes out of night and winter. But folks, good comes out of cold. Good comes out of winter. Especially if you're a farmer. Cold kills insects. Cold kills germs. You know, the farmers love the permafrost. Am I right, Brother Maxwell? It gets down in the soil. That's a free herbicide and insecticide that gets down in the soil and freezes up all those weeds and freezes up all those insects. And boy, then it begins to thaw in the spring and those clods. And when the farmers take their implements and go through those, you stopped and just looked at those fields in the springtime after the farmers have taken the implements through the soil that was so frozen and so hard, man. Did you ever play football on a frozen field? Man, when I was at the boys' home, Mike Hagee, he loved to play football. His rendition of it was, we played until his team got ahead. And once in a while, that meant we played for hours. And I'm not kidding you. Hours. And, you know, we were trying to, if you're on the other team, we get to the place, we say, folks, just let them score and we can quit. Honestly. He got so mad at me one time. I was on the team that was whooping his team. We scored a touchdown. They were going down. We were getting ready, you know, because the losers have to walk, right? The losers have to walk to get the kickoff, you know. Losers walk. And so, you know, we're getting ready to kick off. And I'll give $20 to the first guy that brings blood on Terry. Whoa. He was a competitor. Poor old Gary Spracker was the youth director. And he came up on Thanksgiving Day and played with us. And I'm telling you what. He was running the football, and he turned to run, and he was backing up like this, and he turned to run, and somebody came in to make a tackle, and there, bam, their foreheads hit just like that. And he had hair, and went back, and his head, his scalp, he split from his hairline to his nose, just like that. So I don't know if I got $20 or not, but he was bleeding, I'll tell you that much. But man, the ground would be frozen. You'd fall on that, wham. And here, just a few weeks earlier, the farmers are these fields that are so frozen, solid, full of permafrost, and now they're softened by the thaw and the implements go through. Did you ever see one of those fields, Brother Maxwell? That dirt just cold is good. So that's what good comes out of the night, and good comes out of the winter, and good comes out of the winter and night seasons in our souls. It may not be so easy to see, but good does come from both summer and winter, day and night. Number three, the Lord is in all seasons. The Lord is in all seasons. Is that what He said in verse number 16? He said, the day is thine, the night also is thine. It's easy to see God in the day in summer seasons of warmth and fruitfulness. It is much more difficult to see God in the night and winter seasons. At nighttime, our sight is obscured. We can't see as well. And so our sight can be obscured in the night seasons of the soul. But folks, what did Paul say? We do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. And in the night and the winter seasons of the soul, God is there. How do you know? He said He would be there. So He's there. What is our practice? What is your practice? You've been outside. You worked all day in the cold. And you've been hunting all day in the cold. And you get, you know the difference between being cold and when cold gets in you. You know what I'm talking about? That humid cold, when the air's damp. And boy, you stand outside for a while, and some of you men work outside, and boy, you just come in and the cold's in you, and you head to the source of heat, and you get close to it. Man, when I was a boy in Georgia, and I know you're laughing, it never, you know, this was our Christmas weather in Georgia. How could you ever be cold? Well, it was cold, okay? I get up of a morning, Mom would get us up to go, get ready to go to school. Man, December, January, and I'd be cold as a little boy, and I'd go find one of the grates, you know, in the floor where the furnace, where the air's coming. And I'd get me a blanket and I'd sit on that grate and put that blanket over me. Man, that was warm. You ever do that? See a few people saying, yeah, I did that. A few people say, no, I never was that weird. Oh, man. Nowadays, with the wood stove at the house, man, if I've been out, you know, if I have been out hunting and sitting outside where you're not moving and you're sitting in a tree stand and that damp cold with a wind blowing especially and it gets in you, it gets in these fat cells. It's in you. Oh, mercy. Head to that wood stove and back up to that wood stove. If that thing is blazing, folks, you can feel the heat coming in and you can feel the cold leaving. You can feel that. So what do when it's winter in the soul? Well, you pull up to the source of heat. And the Lord is a source of heat. You pull up to the source of heat, and His presence will warm you. You say, well, He's not there. Oh, yes, He is. He said He would be there. I will never leave thee nor forsake. The Lord is in all seasons. Number four, I'm done. Don't be a sluggard in the winter. Don't be a sluggard in the winter. When night and winter are upon the soul here. Now listen, this is big. The temptation is to sit and do nothing. Because there is no warm motivation to serve, to worship, to sing, etc. We are tempted to not do any of those things. But folks, listen to this. Psalm 20 and verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Now listen. What we faithfully endure in the night and winter seasons of life determines what we fruitfully enjoy during the day and summer seasons of life. What we faithfully endure in the night and winter seasons of life in our soul determines what we fruitfully enjoy during the day and summer seasons. Pastor, what do you mean? We cannot be idle when it's night and winter, when we want to be, when we don't feel like serving the Lord. We're void of feeling. It's cold. It's dark. I'm not talking about outside. I'm talking about inside. I know I'm not shooting over your head tonight. We've all been there. I'm talking about when it's cold and when it's night, winter and night on the inside of your soul, and we don't plow because we don't feel like plowing, but no plowing in winter means no harvest in summer. That's what it means. I was talking to a lady in the church the other day who is a part of the choir and said, I went home from church on Sunday and morning and I had a headache and I got the dishes done from the dinner and I sat down or lay down in the prayer, whatever, lay down, took a brief nap on the couch and the clock, the alarm went off and it was time to go to choir practice Man, I didn't want to go. I did not want to go. But I know it's Christmas playtime and special songs coming up, and Brother Luke's working with the choir. And she said, you know what? I just got up and went. You know what that's called? That's called plowing in the cold. That's what that's called. You know, picking up your Bible and reading it when it's cold and dark in the winter and night of your soul. You know what that's called? That's called plowing in the cold. But if you don't plow in the cold, you'll have no harvest in the summer. Y'all listening tonight? So you can't sit down, folks. This is, there's a lot of lessons between physical life and spiritual life that are true about both. And you know, and the worst thing that somebody can do when they get discouraged is to put themselves in the dark house and just sit there. What are you doing? Nothing. Why? I don't feel like it. The blinds are shut. The shades are pulled. I'm doing nothing because I don't feel like it. A person who gets in that shape is going to spiral down. I'm talking about physically. And the same thing is true spiritually. You know, no, we're not robots. We're not mechanical. And so when we don't feel like plowing spiritually, we don't feel like reading our Bible, we don't feel like praying, we don't feel like singing, you know, I just don't feel like singing. I'm going to come and sit and put my hands in my pocket and watch everybody else sing tonight. It's not helping you, folks. One of the greatest things you'll learn to do in life is plow in cold. Y'all get my analogy tonight? Plow in the cold, plow in the cold, plow in the cold. Don't be a sluggard in the winter, because why? As sure as day turns to night, that night will eventually turn to day. And as sure as summer turns to winter, thank God, that winter will sometime become summer again. Just like the seasons change, and every 12 hours or so, daylight and night change, and just over 13 or 15 weeks, the seasons change, the seasons of our souls change. This guy, Brother Mick, brought a great lesson last night in the soul-winning meeting on I forget what he was what point he was making, but he was talking about night and day, and he was talking about sitting on the deer stand, how he goes out in the deer stand in the dark. Any of you guys that have ever hunted, you know, you go out in the dark and you get lost. You trance around the woods, and every deer that you were hoping to kill is 8 miles away after you get done. And so you take a little flashlight. You take a little flashlight, goes out there and finds a stand, crawls up in the stand, gets situated up there, you know, and sits. And it's dark. And it is. I've been out there. You can't see. Dark. So what do? Sleep. Close your eyes, put your head back, and take a snooze. Yes, sir. Or pray. It's easier to sleep. Just being honest. And he said, you know, but you're sitting there in the dark. You can't see. And he said, next thing you know, there's a little in the horizon off to the east. There's a little sliver of light. And in a matter of minutes, and if you've been outside, you've actually seen that sunrise. You've seen it. You've seen just a little piece of it. 60 seconds, 120 seconds passes, and there's a bigger piece of it. Another 120 seconds passes, and there's a bigger piece of it. And just a few minutes passes, and you were once sitting in complete darkness, and now you're in full light. And that's what's going to happen to the season in your soul. You just keep plowing. One of these days, that little sliver of light's going to show up again. And what was wintertime becomes summer, and what was nighttime becomes day. Because God's in both. Oh, man. I look back. I've got a letter on my desk. Rob Devereaux. Remember Rob Devereaux? Works for your brother, Trish. He works on staff for your brother out in Hawaii. And they're going to ordain him. Remember Rob, Justin? I don't know how many of you guys were in Tim. You were in school. And he was from out east. Ended up in Hawaii. How does a guy do that? From New Jersey to Hawaii. Somebody's got to do it, I guess. New Jersey. Well, what did they eat out there? From whatever they ate to pineapples and coconuts, Lay's. And they're going to ordain Rob, and he sends a letter out to some, you know, I taught him in school. And Brother Angel, I'm putting together, my wife and I are compiling a scrapbook of letters from people who've taught us and helped us. And can you please write a letter just to some advice? You know what advice I'm going to send him? I've done this before. Rob, if you're going to serve the Lord for the long haul, you're going to have to learn to endure the seasons. You have to get through the seasons. And I don't mean January in Illinois or New Jersey. I mean January in here. You have to endure it. You endure faithfully. That's what I'm going to write. That's what I've answered these kids, the young guys before. And that's what I'm here to tell you tonight. Faithful in all seasons. Plow. Just plow. So I don't feel like I'm accomplishing much. Just plow. Don't sit down. Don't give up. Daylight's coming. Warm weather's coming to your soul. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, bless the lesson to our hearts. Help our people. Help us all. Lord, I need this. I go through these seasons of the soul. I know they do. We're not robots. We're not mechanical. God, please help us tonight to be faithful to serve you in the seasons of life. Thank you so much for all that we can learn from your precious word. Speak to our hearts this evening.